Josephina, it happened again.
No way. Who is it this time?
Roger Federer.
Oh my god. Wait, I just realized 50% of his name is Er.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Hold On to Your Racket, the podcast for Gen Z tennis fans. We're your hosts, Shravya.
And Josephina.
Josephina and I are so excited to be creating this podcast and sharing our love for tennis with you all.
Shravya and I are a college and high school gal duo and two tennis fanatics united together by our on-the-court and off-the-court companionship.
And we're the female Gen Z voices in modern-day tennis you've been looking for, so we hope you enjoy this episode and stay tuned for more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hold On To Your Racket. This is definitely an interesting one since there is, in fact, quite a lot to talk about. Can't say we were expecting the news that came to us in recent days, but nonetheless, we have to discuss it and what it means for tennis.
Yeah, I mean, it is like, this news hit me. I was like, I remember how I like heard about it. So I moved into college a few days ago, and I'm like in the middle of orientation and all that, and then all of a sudden, on the one day I get to sleep in, I wake up at around like 9:30, and I look at my phone, and I see at the very top an Apple News notification saying tennis legend Roger Federer announces his retirement, and says he'll play his last match at the Laver Cup. And I definitely think I felt more shock when I heard the Serena news than I did this. I don't know if it's because I'm now numb to retirements in this year, because this has been the year of retirements, or if it's more just that with Roger, it just seemed like a hill that he couldn't climb anymore, and we had all kind of internally recognized that, but still wanted, like, felt his, like, were craving his presence back physically on the tour. I don't know, it felt like a more, I definitely had a different reaction to it in terms of how surprised I was than Serena, probably because of his history of injuries recently.
Yeah, I feel like in recent times that whenever I've seen things like this, like, oh, Roger Federer announces his retirement from tennis, every single year they did this, like a couple of accounts do this on April Fool's Day. So
yeah,
I never fully registered it. I don't even think to this point I have not fully registered it at all. Mm-hmm. Because what happened was that I saw, literally Shravya just texted me, Josephina, Roger, or something like that. Like, just literally two words. Yeah. And I was like, no way. And I was in the middle of history. So I was like, you know what? I'll read this later. And then when it came for my time for my free period, I was like, you know what? I can't do this right now. I'll read it later. So then by the time I actually read his post, it was 2 days later. And I was, like, fully prepared and just had registered it. Actually, no, I had not. I just, like, the one thing I'll say is when I first read it, I was like, it just felt really superficial. Like, I felt like tennis meant a little more.
Really?
Yeah, maybe. I need him to cry. Like, I need to see him cry at Laver Cup. And no, then I'll be okay with it.
I really disagree. I thought it was, like, a very Roger apology. A very Roger announcement. Like, it was very classy, and I liked what he did with how he both had, like, the pose and then also, like, himself reading it. And I think part of it, maybe just because we haven't seen him on the tour in so long, so we haven't really seen that emotion. But I don't think it was superficial at all. Like, I thought it was really sweet how he talked about his family and all of that, and how he made a post dedicated to having his family around him during when he announced it. So I think, as you said, Laver Cup is going to be where we see that emotion. But I personally really appreciated the note. It was kind of like a bougie Notes app announcement, if you will. He had his own letterhead on the cover page of it printed out with, I think, some like tennis balls. And then the next few slides were the text. But to me, the part that was, we're going to talk a little bit about which parts of his announcement resonated with us the most. Josephina obviously had 2 days to think about the news before she even went to read it.
Yeah.
To me, I think when he was talking about the physical toll tennis has taken on him so clearly, it kind of made it click, because we think these guys are invincible, these guys and girls, whoever, I mean guys kind of generally. We think that they're invincible, but with him, you know, this like was a reality check that they're not, right? Like, you can, like, I think sometimes as fans, we're like, please come back, can't wait for him to come back, like, he's gonna train, he's gonna do rehab, and he's gonna be fine, but it is so much harder than that, and it kind of makes us appreciate them more. And it's sad that it's coming at the very end of his career, but I think this is probably the most I've appreciated what he's given to the sport, because it goes to show that he really did try to come back, but his body just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, I get that. Like, we've been talking about that a lot lately, and I kind of like how each retirement this year, because there have been a lot, they each brought up their own themes that have been discussed for a bit, like in tennis. Like, for example, here, what you said is like what we were discussing about Rafael Nadal and his injuries, how kind of we were living in the era of like the super athlete where they have to be invincible, they have to fight through the pain, but really they're just as human as us. Mm-hmm. And then like with Serena's retirement, it's like there's more to life than tennis. And the same thing with Barty. It's like, this is my journey. Like, I have fans, but I can't do everything based on what they say.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So,
and I think
it's a different side to tennis.
Yeah, and I think, like, you're right in that it does feel distant still, that this, we've only kind of seen him on social media with this sort of message. But I really do think, like, come on, we know Roger. He's the biggest freaking crybaby on tour. Like, he will be crying at Labor Cup every single day. And Rafa will be giving him a hug every 5 minutes. So, like,
that's, I think, the content that I'm waiting that for, though. Like, I'm just waiting.
Yeah, I think we are going to see that. But I just also think it is, like, this was the classy way of doing it in his kind of, like, just how he is, like, to announce it this way first. So it was very on brand. You know, they're like, he said, tennis has treated me more generously than I ever would have dreamt, and now I must recognize when it's time to end my competitive career. Like, you can see, like, he paints a picture of, like, the injuries, his family, him growing up as a ball kid and wanting to be, you know, he always talks about wanting to be a professional. Like, he really does paint that history well, but I think that it will be brought to life at Labor Cup.
Yeah.
So I see what you're saying about it feeling superficial. Like, as a fan, you kind of maybe want more.
Yeah.
I think if I got more, I would be too emotional. So I'm glad it started with just text for now. But I think it's interesting to see how each of these different players, Barty, Delpo, Serena, him, who, you know, how they went about announcing it.
Yeah.
Because they each expressed their love for the sport in a different way.
Yeah, because, like, what you were saying, like, how he kind of paints the history, I really did like that part. That's not the part that I was like, okay. It's like when he was like, I want to thank my sponsors, I want to thank this, I want to thank that. Like, it felt repetitive.
Okay.
It did. It felt like it was just, like, a list, mm-hmm. and that's the part I didn't like, the middle part. But, of course, when he's speaking about his family, about his rivalries, about how the ball kid thing at the end, like, that reference, that part, those are the parts I really liked. But then I feel like he kind of felt obligated to include that other stuff in his, like, farewell post. And that's
for sure.
That's why I felt like the note is fine. That's how people do it. But then he could have made the video a little more personal to his experience, you know?
True. I see what you're saying, and I do agree with that. I remember reading the sponsors thing, and I was like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
But as I said, I think, like, I don't think we as Federer fans are ready for like the emotional toll that Labor Cup is going to take on us.
I'm so ready. I'm so ready.
I am. Yeah. I just know I'm going to ATP and Tennis TV are going to be posting a lot of crying videos. I just know that already.
I'm very excited. I, like, need to see it because I'm not, I'm, like, I'm telling you, I'm not registering this at all. Like, this is not happening in my head. This is so surreal.
And I get that.
It's like, okay, he's not going to be on court, but what's the difference between what we've seen?
Yeah. And I think even with, like, Serena, we didn't think it was real until we... I mean, her article was definitely a different vibe of announcement than this. So I think that kind of, you know, made it kind of click a little bit more because she got a chance to fully express herself there. Whereas this is like, yeah, he expressed himself, but we know there's more coming.
Exactly.
I think once we saw Serena on court, and it's really the fans. It's really the fans in the stadium that's, or like even on social media during the matches is when you kind of feel it more palpable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that. And, like, when she announced her retirement, she had the Cincinnati, I think, like, the next week or that week. And we got to see her basically right away. And then that, like, emotional goodbye there. And then, of course, later at the Open. But, yeah, it was just more... It felt more real because I felt like her Vogue article, it really was more personal. Like, it was about her history with tennis. Totally. Not even her history with tennis. She spoke about herself, like, her own life journey besides that and how, like, the two have to meet at some place, and that's now when she retires. So I thought that was great. But, of course, I feel like she had more room to express that. And Roger kind of just, he had to put it out there before Labor Cup.
True. There was obviously a little bit of a PR thing involved in it. I mean, that is kind of like how Roger has been.
Yeah, exactly. But... That's what I was like, it is very Roger to be like kind of calm and cool about it and also have like all these little like shout out to the sponsor things. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think we should be appreciating like the genuine parts of it that we really liked, like the stuff about gratitude and family and fans and the ball kid thing. That was really sweet. And, you know, his paragraph about Mirka and his children literally broke me, especially about Mirka. He said, she warmed me up before finals. If you guys didn't know, they actually met while she was also a player on tour. And, like, that's kind of cute. But he said, she warmed me up before finals, watched countless matches, even while over 8 months pregnant, and has endured my goofy side on the road with my team for over 20 years. I think it was in these sections that you kind of really felt and got a sense of, like, what he really... appreciated on tour. I think, as you were saying, when he talked about rivalries, when he talked about, it was really just about the people he met, I think, what he really honed in on: fellow players, family, and fans.
Yeah, I see that. I really love what he said about his family and, of course, Mirka. And then, of course, like you said, like, he literally dedicated a post to being surrounded by his family when he released this. And that definitely must have been emotional. But all the photos were them, like, smiling. Like, like, where are the tears, Roger? I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just I need that to so that I can cry with him because I...
You're going to see it so soon.
Yeah, I totally...
So soon it's going to hit you.
Totally messed up, though. With, like, finding out the news and then be like, you know what, I'll read this 2 days later so that I can register this. Horrible idea, because now I'm just, like, in this horrible limbo of, like, is this actually happening?
Like, so I you feel haven't like this really registered it yet?
Not at all.
Yeah, I think it's... But as it's, like, different, because you feel different, like, I don't know, just, like, Serena and then Roger, it's easy to compare, like, how I felt with the two of them. But it's just, like... You feel, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but you feel like, you know, there's a shift coming. Like, you know, this means something big, like that these like generational icons are like leaving. But then you're like, okay, but WTF does this mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What's going to like, okay, like we knew this was going to happen in the next year or so, but now what? Yeah. So we'll talk about that in a bit, but one part that, this is actually the sentence that what Roger said that I was like, a really interesting perspective of what we see these professional athletes as, like, on the tour making this much impact. But from their perspective, he said, reflecting on his 24 years on tour, quote, "I have laughed and cried, felt joy and pain, and most of all, I have felt incredibly alive."
Yeah, that I can see in him. Like, in those, like, just when he wins finals, he always had the best reactions. They weren't aggressive. They were not like, I just did that. They were so genuine. And it was, like, you could tell what it meant to him. And also mostly what it meant to have his, like, wife or kids watching when he did. Because that's always the first thing he would look at. So I thought that was nice. But I really like, the one thing that I did like that he said, wording-wise, was he said something like, past 24 years, and then he was like, even though it felt like 24 hours. I thought that was a nice little comparison. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I thought it was genius.
Yeah, for sure.
But, so, like I said, I refused to read it immediately, and I read the statement 2 days later so that I could be less emotional, which was just, like, I don't even know what I was thinking. But, I think my favorite part of it was actually, like, the comments, just seeing what he meant to so many people and how people have, like, related to him and looked up to this, like, Swiss teddy bear throughout their lives. And just, he just united so many people under tennis and kind of for tennis. And I think that's so amazing. And I think he does realize that he did that. Like, he's just a different level of icon. Like, I'm not even comprehending. That's why I'm also not comprehending this. Because I feel like in my kind of tennis fandom, I've just, like, it's not been Roger's era. Like, when I started really paying attention to tennis, like, in 2019, it was literally, I watched his Wimbledon final, and then that was it. He disappeared. And then it was, like, the Novak era and the Rafa era. And so I never really fully registered it, and all I know is of what I've heard of, seen on the internet, and, like, my dad has told me. So it's, like, this is not really my experience with him. With Serena, it's different. Because I feel like, especially since she's a woman, I've definitely done more research on her, like, looked at her stuff more. Just because I feel like every girl needs a role model like that, you know? But another thing that he said that I liked was, well, I'll quote, "It seems as if I've already lived an entire lifetime." And I thought this line was so crazy because it did remind me of what Serena said about having had so many life experiences already tied to tennis. But, like, on a real life spectrum, she's still unbelievably young. And the same thing goes here. Like, he feels like he's literally just had so many experiences that can amount to a lifetime. But what is he? He's only 41 years old. He still has so much left to do and experience. And I feel like it really is separating tennis from, like, kind of, this is where his tennis career ends, but not where his life experiences with tennis end, you know? Like, I feel like there's definitely a difference, and that's a line that we've seen being drawn all year.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what you were saying about the Federer fandom, because I think at our age, like, yeah, like, as of recent, we haven't seen him that much. I think for myself personally, because I grew up in such a hardcore Federer household and always kind of heard of him, and, like, whenever we would go watch tennis, or there was always Tennis Channel playing on my TV, like, he was the first player who really, like, I labeled as being a fan of, or, like, an adjacent fan of, because my parents were crazy fans of him. So in that sense, I have felt his impact. But I think that, you know, even still, you mentioned that, like, as you mentioned on the podcast before, like, even, you know, even if you've only been really into tennis for the past couple of years, and even while he's been off court, people are still talking about him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, exactly. He still has that impact, which I think is really a sign that you know, have done something pretty amazing in the sport. And, I mean, as you said, finally to the game of tennis, I love you and will never leave you. I don't know what that means. Like, I would love to see what capacity he explores in terms of staying in the tennis world. But it's just that impact is, you can feel it. And in terms of, like, discussing, again, since we are on the younger side and have two sort of different experiences with becoming tennis fans and specifically Federer fans, I think it may be interesting for some of our listeners to kind of hear about that, because, you know, some people may have been watching Roger since his arrival on tour. Some maybe, you know him from tennis memes and stuff like that, and cute Fedal content, which is just as amazing. And some of us may remember the past couple of years where, you know, yeah, he's been struggling with injury but had some great moments. So for me, as I said, it was like my family. We, like, my parents were hardcore Federer fans all the time. I remember my dad was staying up really late to watch the 2017 Australian Open final, which was obviously legendary. He recorded the match, and then my mom refuses to watch Federer matches until she knows the result. So the next morning, they rewatched the whole match together because they knew that he won. And then I kind of had a tennis YouTube phase for a really long time where I wouldn't really watch that much tennis, but I would watch a lot of tennis YouTube videos. Like, I don't know if you've seen the one that, like, of Federer and Nadal laughing for 20 minutes straight.
Oh my god, yeah.
That was my favorite video ever. I would watch them on daily with my dad, and we could not stop laughing. It was a great bonding moment. And this was honestly right around the time we started the podcast. So you can see kind of how his impact continued. And when I started feeling the same nervous chills while watching him play that I sensed my parents feel, I think that's kind of when I knew that I was a fan of his as well, even though I didn't get to see much of him. That's what I'm talking about in terms of impact, and when you can feel it as tangible.
Yeah. I feel like now that kind of his career is over, I guess, as far as we know, like, as I'm looking back, I'm like, I'm really questioning whether I was ever myself, like, of course I was a Federer fan, but I'm wondering, like, I was always rooting for him when he did play, but I feel like I don't completely understand why I was. There's just, either it's because a lot of the first impressions about tennis that I have came from my dad, or it's just the fact that he really is that lovable, that you could just, like, anybody could become a fan of him after watching one match, watching his composure, how he plays, just, like, literally any Federer highlight is actually just beautiful. Like,
yeah.
He's just insanely good at what he does, and he really did play a different game, though. Like, he played such an elegant game, and it's so mm-hmm. different than what we've seen, like, with first serve and volleying, and then that aggressive baseliner thing that tennis was kind of moving into, and then his, like, he comes in with his, like swoopy one-handed backhand and touch volleys, just insane stuff. That's why, you know, the Swiss maestro, that's what I'm thinking of when mm-hmm. I say this.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's interesting that we both, our connection to him was born out of, like, family.
Yeah.
Like, I think that goes to show, like, generational impact, and also how much our parents must have loved him for them to, like, want to instill that same fandom into us. I think that speaks volumes. My mom, we would always go to the US Open during the first couple of weeks and get autographs of players. And we had Serena's, we had Rafa's, we had Djokovic's, we had Andy's. We just could not get Roger's. It was so hard. And my mom had specifically bought, like, a medium-sized, like, those Wilson, like, autograph balls, brand new, and she was like, we can't use this at all, this is only gonna be for Roger if we ever get Roger's signature. There were many times where, like, my dad got it once on some random business card, but there were many times my mom tried, but it was just, like, a war zone out there. She was never successful.
He's so untouchable. Yeah. Like, he's just, like, I never registered that he was real, you know? Because also, he's the only, well, actually, I've never watched him live. I've watched Serena, I've watched Djokovic, and I've watched Nadal. But I have never watched Federer live. Like, it's always been on TV or the YouTube videos, like you said, those highlights online. So it's like, he just seems so unreal. Like, even, not just the fact that his career is ending, but he himself, his career just seems so unreal. Because people are still arguing that he's the GOAT after he's been surpassed with Grand Slams. And, like, all these other stats that keep coming out now that after Nadal and Novak were succeeding more. And it's just, I find that so, not weird, but, like, it's just really interesting.
Yeah. And my mom was telling me when this news came out, she was like, that ball is going to be, like, blank now. Like, it'll always stay like that. And not really in a sad way, but kind of just in, like, a sign of his impact, I guess. But as you said, like, the GOAT debate, like, yeah, if you want to look at, like, stats and stuff and all that, you can get, like, you can debate that probably between Rafa and Novak. But when you're talking about the impact that each of these players have had, Serena, Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, those are really, like, to me, even, that's, like, yes, like, they did all that stuff on the court, but
yeah, exactly.
So much that resonated so much off the court as well. Like, that I think we really need to appreciate.
Yeah, because, like, what does greatest of all time mean? Like, it's not greatest of all time on court. It's, like, it's so much more than that. Like, with Nadal, I mean, he's probably, like, for men's tennis, I'd say the most popular one, because he just, I don't know. He has more followers on Instagram. Everybody kind of knows him. Like, it's Rafa. And then Roger. I don't know. I feel like I find it really weird how little people know Roger exists that don't follow tennis at all. You know? Like, people that, like, don't follow tennis, like, not one bit. They're like, I'm like Roger Federer. And they're like, who? Really? I never understood that. Yeah.
I have not had that same experience.
Yeah.
Everyone I know who follows, like, doesn't even follow that many sports knows who he is.
Really? Maybe I'm hanging out with the wrong people.
I think you're hanging out with the wrong people. Everyone knows who Roger is.
Yeah, that's true. But I just find it cool that you kind of had that, even if you didn't have a direct experience with him, you had that experience that was kind of directly affected by his just existence, the ball not being signed, and you guys having that now as kind of a keepsake for, even though he didn't sign it, it's the ball he would have signed. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I feel like the only real personal impression of Federer I have is watching the 2019 Wimbledon final. Like, I watched the whole thing. I just sat in bed for that entire Sunday, and, like, I was obviously cheering for Federer because I've always liked him better than I like Novak. But when he didn't win, I was crying with him. And I don't know if his emotions are just contagious or if I was really, really that upset about it. But that's definitely, like, my, I think, most genuine personal impression of Roger Federer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just so many levels of impact that he had, and I think I've especially leaned into, you've brought me into the Pinterest Federer memes. Like, I love those.
They're so and good.
Speaking of Federer, actually, we want to give some space to talk about Rafa's post for Federer, because obviously that was amazing.
Yeah. So the first pick already, one of those intimate Nadal moments, because he knows what the fans want. It was literally like, I forgot whose hand was on whose chest, but they were looking deep into each other's eyes, and it was just, you know, I know, it's just, yeah, I mean, they both have wives. It's not going to happen, guys. But they're the best of friends. They are the tennis besties. So should I just read his entire thing? Should I?
Yeah, you can go through it super quickly.
Okay. Dear Roger, my friend and rival. Already a good start. I wish this day would never come. It's a sad day for me personally and for sports people around the world. I said it to you when we spoke, and now it's here. It's been a pleasure, but also an honor and privilege to share all these years with you, living so many amazing moments on and off the court. We will have many more moments to share together in the future. These are still lots of things to do together. We know that. For now, I truly wish you all the happiness with your wife, Mirka, your kids, your family, and enjoy what's ahead of you. I'll see you in London at the Laver Cup. So I really like that he was like, you know what? Even though it's over on court, it's not going to be over off court. So I'm glad to see that Fadal lives on. And also he said, I said it to you when we spoke. So that means that Roger definitely called up Rafa and was like, hey man, I have some news and I just wanted you to be the first to know. That definitely happened. That definitely happened.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, these social media posts are cute and stuff, but the same point that you made earlier, I want to see it.
I know.
Emotion in person. So I think that's going to be really fun. This is really minor, but I thought it was really classy that Rafa posted Grand Slam trophy pics of the two of them for like two of their most legendary finals. The 2017 Australian Open and then 2008 Wimbledon. One win, one loss for each, and put Roger's win first. So they're a rivalry we really need to appreciate more on so many levels. And that appreciation can totally come in the form of Fedal memes. Like, that is appreciation because that goes to show you that they taught a new generation about what good tennis is, like just good competition, but also good sportsmanship. And I think that's something that's going to carry through for a long time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, not to bring up Serena again, but mm-hmm. I find it so interesting how it's kind of, another thing that, like, I'm just going to keep listing ways that I can't process this, but another mm-hmm. thing that I'm kind of having trouble with is the fact that it's always been, like, Roger and Rafa, you know, like the two came as the legendary duo. Mm-hmm. It's like they just couldn't have found that competition or level without each other. And then Serena she always stood alone. Mm-hmm. I feel like now that she's gone, it's like a dominant person in the sport. It's not like we're losing one half and, oh, she's leaving someone behind to kind of take care of business on tour. It's just Serena herself. And it's not even a sad thing that she's so lonely at the top. It's just, it really goes to show how I think it's amazing that she was able to push herself so far with kind of more of a lack of competition, you know? Like, no direct rivals. I think that's cool. It's just something I thought about just now.
No, I like that. As we round out our discussion with this episode, this has been a year of retirements, as we said, but particularly of these two legends, Serena and Roger. What does tennis look like without them? We have tried to answer this question in previous episodes about Serena, and in my personal opinion, I don't know, because for Josefina and I's generation, this has been a constant, right? Like, in some way or another, their presence on tour, just, like, knowing that they're there, even if they're injured, even if they're taking a break, as both of them have been, their presence is still palpable. Yeah. So I don't know what tennis is going to look like without them. I think we've kind of been seeing, obviously, like, in terms of, like, competition-wise, and, like, there's no shortage of good players. Do I think we'll be seeing someone of that caliber come up? I don't know. I don't, like, at least on the women's side, I don't think so. Not yet.
People say Carlos, but it's, like,
people say Carlos, yeah, but I don't know. I think it's not worth comparing people to them, because I think I think their legacy
should remain untouched. Like, it's too sacred.
It's too sacred and it's too big for me to comprehend or predict what's going to happen. Because
but the fact that
I don't know. I don't really know. Like, I just, tennis will be fine. tennis will be fine. Yeah, like, yeah. People are freaking out because they're gone and they're like, there's no good players left. No, there's good players left. There's a good competition left. We saw that in both the U.S. Open, the women's and singles, women's and men's this year.
I thought the U.S. Open was, like, a great little preview. Yeah. I really great. Did. I totally loved agree. It. I thought
I absolutely really, loved it.
Yeah.
And people were really excited about it, which I loved. Like, the excitement about Tiafoe, the excitement about Jabeur and Iga. I've met so many guys recently here at college who are tennis fans, and a couple of them have been like, I asked them, do you follow women's tennis? And, you know, sure, some of them were like, not as much as I would like to, or not as much as the men's, but they mentioned Iga. They're like, Iga is so cool. So you're seeing a new generation or a new swath of players making an impact, but I just think, like, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, we have legends leaving right now, which is opening up a really interesting space.
Yeah. I think the thing about Serena and Roger, especially, since they're the one who kind of just left, they definitely set kind of the bar. But the thing is, people aren't realizing that that bar doesn't always have to be reached. Like, whatever era of tennis we're in, like, it could either be that, oh my god, somebody did this once, that has to be what I do now. It's not like in running where you're constantly breaking records and breaking records. No, in tennis, it's more once in a generation. And, to like, if you want to think about it in this sense, the Open era is so young. Like, this is a very modern era of tennis. And Serena and Roger have been there for, like, what, half of it? So we're really, like, there's no way to predict what's going to come because we really are entering a new era of tennis. And whether it be, like, a super even competition, like, a super even playing field or one dominant person, we just won't know until it happens.
Thank you so much for joining us, and that is Game, Set, and Match for today.
If you like this episode, please let us know and stay tuned for more. We'll be providing you all the coverage of upcoming tennis and, of course, all the tea on tour.
Email us at holdontoyourracket@gmail.com for any questions and leave a rating on whatever platform you're listening on.
Hold On To Your Racket is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts.
Follow us on social media at holdontoyourracket on Instagram and at @HOTYR_tennispod on Twitter. Our next episode will be released as the Labor Cup begins and the indoor season continues.
And remember, my name is Josefina.
And my name is Shravia.
And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to hold on to your racket until next time.